I really like to challenge my students to think critically, regardless of what class it is. It can be a freshman, sophomore level class or my seniors. Of course, the seniors, you know, they've gone through 4 years of college and they've developed that critical thinking more. But I think it's important to start them right when they start college, learn how to critically think. So for example, in classes for my exams, I don't think I've ever given a multiple choice exam. And of course, some people will disagree with that and say, sure. Well, they need multiple choice to be prepared for standardized testing, which I completely agree with. But I feel that in the classes that I've been teaching, I would prefer that for them to learn how to think about what they've learned. So not just memorize and spit back, but instead really integrate what they've learned in the classroom and in class discussions and reading the textbook and how they can apply that knowledge.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Dr. Meredith O'Hara is Associate Professor of Biology in the College of Science and Mathematics and is the Director of Under the Microscope, HBU Biology Speaker Series. Dr. O'Hara's teaching specialties include embryology, anatomy, and physiology. She emphasizes critical thinking and the integration of scientific concepts. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I tell you what, there's so many things in your intro that intrigued me to ask you a number of questions. I guess the first is, how did you get to HBU?
That's a good question. Well, I'm from Texas, so I grew up in was born in South Texas and then grew up in Austin. Went through high school in Austin. Decided I wanted to do something a little different, and I moved to California for school. So I went to Pepperdine University for my undergrad and then did my PhD at UCLA. I wasn't quite ready to leave California yet, and so I worked at California Baptist University. I taught there for a couple of years. So that was my first introduction to teaching at a private Christian, and in that case, Baptist University. After being in California for 12 years with school and work, I decided it was time to come back to family and come back home. And so I started teaching at Concordia University in Austin. So once I started at Cal Baptist, I knew I wanted to be in the Christian university environment. And so I taught at Concordia for 4 years, and then I got married or got engaged, and my husband and I got married, and I moved to Houston. And I worked at a community college here in Houston for a year. While I was doing that, I was working part-time here at HBU, and then I was lucky enough to be asked to work full-time, and so now I've been full-time in the biology department for the past 3 years.
What attracts you to a Christian university?
There's several things. So I like the openness of the university. So I like that we welcome students of all backgrounds and students of all faiths for that matter. And
right.
So being able to discuss my Christian faith, but then also being able to hear other students' backgrounds and hear their perspectives, it's been something neat for me to experience. And the small class size has, of course, been very attractive, and the support for doing the type of biology and research that I like to do has been really great.
Now, you are professor of biology in the College of Science and Mathematics. Mm-hmm. What drew your attention to biology? You're from where? What city?
Austin.
Yeah.
It was actually my freshman year biology teacher. Well, I was always very into science without really knowing it.
Right.
You know, I would find hurt animals outside in the yard and I'd try to nurse them back to health, or I would be observing animals and trying to do little science experiments. So without even knowing it, I was clearly a scientist growing up. But my freshman year biology teacher at Anderson High School in Austin, his name was Mr. Furtado, and he just got me so excited, and he was a very difficult teacher, but I loved the challenge. And from that point on, I was hooked on biology, all kinds of science, but especially biology.
And why Pepperdine for your undergraduate work?
Well, So I applied to several schools, big schools, small schools, and it wasn't until I went and visited Pepperdine. I mean, I saw the pictures and it looked beautiful. It's on the coast in California. But when I went to visit and I could feel, it's a Christian university, and I could feel the family environment, much like it is here at HBU. And from that moment on, I knew. And my parents were there with me to, you know, to help with that decision. And they also, they felt very comfortable with me being so far away, yet being there.
And USC, did you say?
UCLA.
UCLA, excuse me.
Yes.
And why there?
Well, you know, I applied to several graduate schools, and when I went to UCLA for my interview, it felt very academic and very, it was just a great place for me to be able to grow as a scientist. I hadn't been exposed to a lot of hardcore lab research in my undergrad experience, and so I went to UCLA and I was just blown away by the facilities and the faculty members. And it was still, it was in Los Angeles, and it was one of those things, I didn't feel like I was ready to leave LA yet, and it had been really good to me so far, and UCLA couldn't ask for really a better place to get the degree that I was looking for. My PhD is in biological chemistry, and so it was a really great opportunity. I got to hear Nobel Prize winners speak, and scientists from all over the world I got to interact with. So it really was a great place for me to be and grow as a scientist.
Super. Now, your specialties are in embryology, anatomy, and physiology. Mm-hmm. Tell us about those three.
So embryology is essentially what my PhD research was on. So I studied a protein and a mutated protein and how that affected the development of the heart and the vascular system. And in as a scientist, I used a model, animal model, so I studied that in mice. And to look at how the heart develops, you must look at embryonically. And so I just became an embryologist, essentially, with all of the work that I did for my PhD. And I fell in love with the processes of developmental biology and just how amazing it is that we start as a single cell and become these amazing human beings, or in the case of mice, these amazing mice. You know, it's fascinating when you start to break down and learn what exactly is happening and how many things are happening in the organism as it goes from that single fertilized cell to a full or a fully developed organism. So it was really just a pure interest in and an excitement about the amazing beauty in that whole process. So that's how I got into embryology, and that essentially kind of led me into the ability to teach anatomy and physiology, because I had done so much anatomy, especially with the work that I'd done in my PhD, dissections and stuff like that. And then physiology, how the body works. I think a lot of people are interested by that, and I get the ability to teach students about it, which is probably one of the most fun things that I get to do, because I become almost like their doctor. They come to me after class with questions, and I have to preface it like, okay, I'm not an MD, so yeah, I can't give you any medical advice, but if we look at it scientifically, we can try to explain what's going on this way. And so I love getting students excited about how their bodies are working, and I kind of get to be mom and teach them how to take care of their bodies, because now they understand how those processes are taking place.
Absolutely. Now, you are the director of Under the Microscope. Mm-hmm. What is Under the Microscope?
So Under the Microscope is a speaker series that was started years ago before I got to HBU. And when I started here as an adjunct that year, I realized, you know what, our students could really benefit from hearing from scientists that, I mean, we live in Houston, there's Medical Center, we've got Rice, we have Baylor, UT. There's so many scientists in the Houston area that are doing top-notch research, and I thought it would be great if we made this a regular occurrence. And so I asked our chair, Dr. Horn, if I could kind of adopt the Under the Microscope and take it on and direct it and make it a very regular series. And so every month during the school year, we have an invited scientist or invited speaker, usually a scientist or sometimes a physician scientist. We've had them from UT Health, from UTMB, Rice, Baylor, all over the Houston area. And they come and they share their research that they're doing. And so we've gotten a really great turnout with students. We'd love to have more, but a lot of our students go and they learn about the research. And it's been neat to see students' eyes open up to what's going on out there. You know, we have our labs here at HBU and we have research going on, but when they hear about all the brand new techniques that are available to scientists now and the things that are being done in the lab and then translated to humans for treatments and clinical trials, it's been really neat to see the students interact with those scientists. And then it's also started to build a network of collaborators you can think of. So mm-hmm. I'd say almost every single guest speaker that we've had has offered to, okay, if your students want to come volunteer in the summer, volunteer during the school year and do research, you know, send them our way. And we've had students do that. So it's been a win-win overall for everyone. And so it's been a really fun project to do. This past seminar that we had all of our students who had done summer research fellowships this past summer, they gave their talks. So they were our first under the microscope speakers for this semester. And that was just so much fun to see. We had 7 students. They had done fellowships over the summer, done research projects across the country, one even in Peru.
Really?
And so they were so proud of their work. And I remember afterwards, we were talking amongst the faculty members and we're like, they sounded so smart, which they're smart, but you know, hearing them talk in this very scientific, complicated language was just, it was just like, okay, our job is done. Like, we've prepared these students and they are going out there and they're doing great work. And so it was really neat to experience that. And I know that our students enjoyed listening to their peers. And I've already had students ask me, how can I do that next year? How can I be a part of the seminar next year?
Oh, that's awesome. We're talking to Dr. Meredith O'Hara. She's the Associate Professor of Biology in the College of Science and Mathematics, and she's the Director of Under the Microscope, HBU Biology Speaker Series. You emphasize critical thinking and the integration of scientific concepts. Enlarge on that, would you?
So I really like to challenge my students to think critically, regardless of what class it is. It can be a freshman, sophomore level class or my seniors. Of course, the seniors, you know, they've gone through 4 years of college and they've developed that critical thinking more. But I think it's important to start them right when they start college, learn how to critically think. So for example, in classes for my exams, I don't think I've ever given a multiple choice exam. And of course, some people will disagree with that and say, sure, well, they need multiple choice to be prepared for standardized testing, which I completely agree with. But I feel that in the classes that I've been teaching, I would prefer that for them to learn how to think about what they've learned. So not just memorize and spit back, but instead really integrate what they've learned in the classroom and in class discussions and reading the textbook and how they can apply that knowledge. So I like to give exams where I say, suppose you're a doctor and so on, because a lot of our students are pre-med or pre-PA. And so I like to put them in the position of how they can use the knowledge that they've gained from the lectures or the homework assignments or whatever it might be, but use that information and think about it critically and then apply it.
You know, critical thinking is desperately needed in a Christian context. It's interesting, those two words. My wife and I have been working on a project for about 4 years where we've been focusing on why people leave Christianity. And so we've interviewed about 100 of the leading atheists, agnostics, secularists, philosophers, scientists. Mm-hmm. And if we heard it once, we heard it literally, you know, 20 times, that people who were antagonistic or maybe just disaffected by Christianity would say Christians don't know how to critically think. And that just stuck with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think for a minute about contemporary culture, when you think about the proliferation of reality television and a whole lot of things that engage the psyche of the average person today, there's not a tremendous amount of challenge to think. Right. In fact, in LA, I think one television executive told me, he said, Jerry, we call it lean back television. I'm at the end of the day, I'm bombed, and I just want to lean back and, you know, just watch the show. What are the components, in your opinion, of critical thinking?
I think critical thinking requires not only knowledge, so background knowledge, or at least knowing where to go find that, whether it's Google or a textbook, and even with that, knowing which information to trust, meaning a reliable source versus not. But taking that information and then applying it to a question or applying it to a problem and then being able to solve that problem or answer that question. So taking information and from many different places, either in your brain, if you already know it, or from different sources, and applying it so that you can solve a problem or answer a whether it's complicated or a simple question, most simple questions don't have a simple answer. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be able to take information, take things that you know, gather them together, learn how to connect points A, B, C, D, and E in order to then, you know, provide an answer, whether it be for yourself or for somebody else. And I think that critical thinking, I almost like to call it street smarts. Mm-hmm. And I tell my students that a lot. I say, you know, college, of course, it's important that you learn things and that you're going to have to memorize stuff and you're going to have to be able to list things off. But college more so in these courses and what I'm trying to help you with is more so that street smarts, where you can take information. Like anyone can Google, where's the humerus bone? Mm-hmm. But if you have a patient with a broken bone with three other problems going on, you need to be able to gather all that information and apply it that way. So from the classes that I teach, from that aspect, that's how I would interpret critical thinking.
Now, when you bring up science and faith, do you ever feel they're incongruent, as we're typically led by some of the antagonists of Christianity?
I think that's usually the natural thought, to think that they are. But I think probably because I grew up in a Christian family, my dad isn't a scientist by any means, but he's very much has been very, like, he's taught me all about math and building things, and so a very
critical thinker.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was a school teacher, and so I grew up in a Christian home who valued education and learning and critical thinking. I went to undergrad at a Christian university. I've taught at Christian universities, and so I've really never seen that incongruence, and if anything, I feel very thankful to be teaching at a Christian, to be teaching biology at a Christian university, because I can express my amazement for, especially in embryology, amazement for how we start out as an egg and a sperm and become the most, you know, beautiful creations there are, and so I guess I've never felt that clashing, which I'm very thankful for.
Absolutely. The students who come through the biology department, what are future vocational careers for them?
Well, we have a lot of pre-medical students, so a lot of students that would like to go to medical school. And I'm going to toot our own horn, but I think we do a really good job of preparing them. We've had students come back and say, you know, this class or that class really helped prepare me for medical school. So we're really proud of that and thankful for that. We have a lot of students. Physician assistant is becoming a really popular career. Essentially, you practice medicine and you have most of the rights and privileges of a medical doctor. You work underneath a supervising doctor, but it's 3 years of school as opposed to the typical seven for medical school. So a lot of students valuing that that quality of life of a PA or now pre-physician assistant. So we have that. We have pre-dental, pre-optometry. We prepare our students for a lot of healthcare careers. We also have several students now who are starting, and I I'd like to think that hopefully the under the microscope has helped with this, but we have an increasing interest in students going into PhD programs, some master's, but a lot of PhD programs, so to do their PhD in the biological sciences. And then, of course, we have students that go into industry, so maybe have that biology background, but still more into sales or working for a biotechnical industry or pharmaceutical mm-hmm. industry. So those are probably, I'd say pre-med is probably the most popular one, pre-PA is picking up with it also. We're really proud of our students, and we offer all the courses that are needed as prerequisites for all of those careers. And so we're excited when we, you know, hear updates and see where our students are going.
Fantastic. There really is a difference at Houston Baptist University, and Dr. Meredith O'Hara gives a clear example of that today. What a delight to have you a part of the team here.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for the contribution you're making. You can learn more about this entire department at hbu.edu/C as in Charlie, O as in Oscar, S as in science, M as in math, COSBA. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Dr. O'Hara herself. It's been a joy to talk to you. Thank you for your contribution, and we look forward to other students joining here. And that Christian distinctive, I want to close on that. I mean, just because you're a Christian university doesn't mean we exclude non-Christians by any means.
Right.
It is a welcoming university, but it also is faith building, is
absolutely.
It not?
Absolutely. No, it absolutely is. So it's welcoming to all, but certainly, you know, very. It certainly helps build one's Christian faith if one is open to it. And we have so many students that are, and of course all of us faculty are, and so it feels like you're amongst family, and it's just a great place to be.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.